I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Tomorrow night, Remembrance Day, the 11th of November, is the opening night of Alley Theatre's The Ridiculous Darkness. It's a satirical show that's a modern mashup of the Conrad novel Heart of Darkness and the film Apocalypse Now. Based on a German radio play by Wolfram Lotz, the show has been adapted to the stage by Daniel Arnold. Marissa Smith and Nyla Carpentier are the show's directors. Ms. Carpentier joins me now to talk about the production, their largest to date, the many ancillary events attached to the run, as well as the themes of this piece, all timely and necessary. Nyla Carpentier is of Tahltan and Kaska First Nations descent. She was recently assistant director of Hardline Productions' Red Patch. She's a dancer and someone who uses her experience and heritage to make something meaningful of her work for the wider community. AlleyTheatre.ca is the website for tickets and more. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Nyla Carpentier. Ms. Carpentier, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is such a fascinating show that you're about to open here in Vancouver. I guess other than to ask you what Ridiculous Darkness is about, does one have to be familiar with, say, Heart of Darkness or Apocalypse Now?
I think, well, it's interesting because I've never watched Apocalypse Now until just recently, when I started taking on this project. But I was familiar with the storyline of Apocalypse Now, and it's sort of how it was a journeyman story of two soldiers going into the vast wilderness / rainforest to retrieve a comrade who's gone rogue. And so a lot of people are just familiar with that sort of journey story, you know, the hero going on a quest, right? And so I don't think you have to be familiar with it, but if you were like me and who was familiar about the pop culture references of Apocalypse Now and sort of the history around it, or Heart of Darkness and its themes of colonialism and imperialism, this play will definitely have a couple of comedic moments and throwback moments, even if you may have not seen the movie, or if you sat through the director's cut.
Apocalypse Now is one of those and Heart of Darkness as well. It's one of these touchstones in the culture. You would not have had to read it or watched it, and yet you know what it's all about. It's gone beyond its original, original goal.
It really has, and I think that's why the Ridiculous Darkness reflects that. I mean, to be honest, I'm pretty sure I learned more about Heart of Darkness, the novel, and Apocalypse Now through The Simpsons, like Simpson references. I watched the movie and I was like, wow, The Simpsons quoted like half this movie in different forms. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's why the play, being a satire, is so much fun. Because you start recognizing, oh, this is where that line comes from. Oh, this is where this moment comes from.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of, obviously I don't need to tell you, and people listening to this don't need a reminder, there's a lot of racial tension in our culture today, and a lot of discussion on the journey towards reconciliation.
Right.
This show is very timely in that regard, isn't it?
It really is. I think it is about how we actually view each other and our differences. The interesting thing about Apocalypse Now and Heart of Darkness is it is through the view lens of two white soldiers, going in, or colonialism, white soldiers, especially Apocalypse Now. It's, there's a couple of actors who are African-American, but, it's always from this one perspective, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's like this perspective of, we are doing the right thing going into these places. And right now what we're talking about in our society is trying to see other people for who they are and as equals. And it's struggle between that because, not understanding our cultural differences. And it is very timely, this play, because there's a time where it's weird we don't get to see, we're starting to see more diversity now in theater in Vancouver, but it's taken a lot of people to knock on doors and say, look, we want to see more diversity. We want to see theater reflect what we actually see in Vancouver. And that's why, with the racial tensions that are happening, it's great to see a play that incorporates people of different backgrounds and from different community groups. And actually, we've actually consulted with these groups so that they have a voice.
Yeah, and it's Alley Theater's biggest production. It's quite a large cast, and in the people that are performing and the people that are part of the production, you have worked towards making it a diverse group of people, right?
Definitely. We made a very conscious effort right from the get-go. Marissa and Daniel made, when they contacted me originally, they wanted me to be part of the community organization for the community, one of the community groups, for the indigenous group that participates in the play. And I also auditioned for the show, and I came in, when I came in, I had a lot of ideas about a specific scene that involves a mission and an indigenous village. And I, because of how experienced and they felt that because of what I had shared, that I would be better as a co-director. And I was very excited that they invited me on. But they, even from the casting process, so once they invited me on and we started talking about casting, we were very aware that we wanted to cast a diverse group of people from different backgrounds. And it's interesting. I mean, I think in our big budget mind, we would have been able to have more community group involvements. But the ones that we do have involved, who we have the indigenous group, which is nicknamed the East Van Powwow Crew, representing the us powwow dancers who practice at the Vancouver Friendship Center, you know, and that's where we hang out, and that's who we are, and also with an amazing spoken word artist and activist, Valene Jules, and just like, that's our little core group. That was the first group to come on, and then they had seen Tetsu Taiko perform, so they got invited to be part, and they were interested. The downtown East Side Vendors Market, members from that market came in, were interested in participating. Theater Terrific. It just, it kind of blows my mind how big it got.
Yeah.
And so now we have a ensemble of 41 and a cast, core cast of six, so about close to 50 people on stage, if you include stagehands.
Right, right, yeah. And, and the other thing is, are these other events, these ancillary events, that are taking place around the time of the production. So one of the things that, that caught my eye was that you're marking World Toilet Day.
Yes. So this is an actual day.
Right.
I did not know this until I started doing the production. So we figured with opening on Remembrance Day, you know, we would honor that. And then with our the show, it just also shows the dynamics of, we have something as grounding and as respectful as Remembrance Day, and then we end it on something almost comedic, which is World Toilet Day, in celebration of World Toilet Day. And our community organizer, Davey, will be actually doing a special honoring of that day before the show, because it's only fair.
But more than being humorous, it is an important day to mark because, you know, we realize just how many people don't have a toilet, and how sanitation is such an emergency
around
the world. You know?
That is also true. And it's also viewing how, this is an interesting aspect of WOW, is that viewing how toilets are used and the different types of toilets is actually quite, it gets quite fascinating. WOW, when you think something you take for granted, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, no, it's sanitation and use. It's quite big. It's quite different. And, you know, we no longer have to dig outhouses, really, in our cities. But can you imagine if you lived in a large population and you had no toilet system?
Yeah.
So it does shift it, right? That is true. Off the top, on the surface, it's comical. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a second. So that's actually a very good point.
Yeah. You're someone who is known in this town as a multifaceted artist. Is that a function, say, of your wider interests? I mean, you work in with such ease going from say dance and theater and I mean, you obviously also have an aptitude in terms of talent for all of the stuff that you do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I moved to Vancouver 12 years ago to go to theater school, and I actually started my theater school process at Studio 58 at Langara College when I was accepted there. I spent 2 years there, and I realized that the program wasn't quite right for me, and I moved on to Full Circle First Nations, they had a program called, it was a 2-year ensemble program that I got to be part of. And I think through those two training institutions, I got 4 years of sort of cultivating a mixture of Western style theater, indigenous practice, and then I managed to really start blending powwow culture, which is something I've had in my life since I was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, since before I came into this world, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
So powwow dancing for me has always been part of my life. And I was very lucky growing up that my mom and my dad surrounded me with art, indigenous art, specifically Anishinaabe Woolen-style artists like Daphne Ojig. And we would go to these parties where there'd be guitars and storytelling and people would be doing magic tricks, and they would just have this, there was this kind of like a strange special time. And so I grew up knowing that it was actually possible for me to blend storytelling and dance. And I think it was realizing some point in my teens that I really wanted to do theater,
mm-hmm.
and that I started pursuing that, and then trying to, I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that I didn't take when I was in my early 20s that I do take now is I did my research. Like, do your research.
Mm.
Find out which programs will cultivate the best artist that you are, and that's what I started to do. And it's funny because 2007, 2009, I think, is when I first met Marissa,
mm-hmm.
from Alley Theater. And seeing her work, she was actually playing a character, she was in Crackwalker at the Vancouver Fringe Festival. And I remember thinking, I really want to work with her.
Yeah.
So I kept in touch with her all throughout the years. Just, you know, and every time I saw her at the Fringe Festival, I said, you know, we would talk. And that's because she seems really interested in the artistic practice. And so myself, I realized that I could blend these and be multifaceted. And sometimes it's hard, though, because, for example, this last summer I was at the Blythe Theater Festival, which was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Had a great experience. Got to do Drew Hayden Taylor's play, The Berlin Blues.
Yeah.
And another new play called Ipperwash by Phelan Johnson. But the only thing was I didn't get to powwow all summer. I didn't get to dance all summer, so it was hard. Like, sometimes it's a give and take, you know. But yeah.
So it is so much a part of your life, powwow,
it
isn't
is.
It? Yeah.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, it's a very vibrant community, and it has its own protocols, and it shifts no matter where you go, but it is almost a lifestyle when you become part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems, from what I feel, it's pretty opening and welcoming as well.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I've always also wanted to direct.
Yeah.
Something I've wanted to do since high school as well. And I assisted directed for Red Patch, which was great experience. And I also directed with help of the playwright a show called Spawn at the Revolver Festival. And I started being like, yes, this is something I want to do as well with
yeah.
acting and storytelling.
Yeah.
It's just finding the time to do it all. It's really hard.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Right now it's all co-directing, nothing but co-directing. It's consumed my life.
Yeah. But see, you're someone who has a reverence for the past and for tradition, and then you take that and you blend it with the present, with a sort
yes.
of work like this.
Yes.
And then it says something about the future. And at its core, your work, really, at its heart, is about hope, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's exactly about hope. That's nail on the head right there. We, like, in my life, you know, I've always believed that you have to learn what happened in the past so that you can make changes in the present and prepare for your future.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually comes from a teaching I received years ago. You know, when you think about the past, you think about how you would honor 7 generations behind you of your ancestors, how it affects the present, and how it will affect the future. And that's why it's really important to learn and adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this work is so fun and serious at the same time, because we are trying to examine our mistakes of the past, bringing it to the present, including all our confusion, so that we could create some sort of hope for the future. And we don't know really what that looks like yet, but we're willing to try.
Mm.
And that's through communication and trying to understand each other and our differences, whether it be race, ability, disability, and things like that, just to kind of be able to shift our perceptions and have these conversations, you know, between our cultural differences. Yeah. And the thing is about this show is it's a great show that kind of, it's a satire, but my hope really is that it creates conversations that creates the change, because these changes will happen over time. They won't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, as a society, on a whole, we seem to forget sometimes. We think we need, like, they say, this is a year of reconciliation.
Right.
That's nice. Reconciliation is going to probably take at least a couple of generations.
Right.
I appreciate the year. Thank you.
But it's not enough.
But it's not realistic.
Yeah.
We're going to need at least probably a couple of generations. Like, if I ever have children, maybe their grandkids will know we'll look back at this and be like, wow, we can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
But we're in so much of a better place now. We have to keep on going further to preserve our culture and also, though, treat others with respect. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, you know, it's interesting. This is why I always love shows like this, because we need to laugh at some of the horrible things that happen, or else we'll spend all our time in rage. And my philosophy too, I grew up with a lot of trickster stories growing up, and I realized that the trickster always seems to do the wrong thing for the right reasons, to teach the lesson.
Yeah.
And that's really too, sometimes as play, we go to places and I'm pretty sure the audience would like cringe, but in the end we're going there to show something or to hopefully teach a lesson, but not like knock you over the head.
Right.
More like tickle you in the funny bone.
Yeah.
Or a slight cringe. Who knows?
And it's necessary, though, even, to cringe, isn't it?
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's necessary to get uncomfortable. I think we get stuck in our comfort zones, and then we become complacent. And when we become complacent, we don't take action when we see things that are not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes we need to be poked.
Yeah, we do. This production, like a lot of work in this town, acknowledges that the show takes place on the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples. What do you think audiences think when they hear that?
Depends.
Yeah.
The first thing that popped in my head was, oh, neat. Again, this is my trickster thinking. the audience will be like, oh, yeah, that's neat. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I think, for me, when I hear it, it just reminds me whose territory, because, again, growing up, the idea of territories, right?
Yeah.
Whose territory I would be on. And, you know, it would remind me of what protocols I would need to do. I think it's good to remind the audience when we acknowledge that. I think we take for granted, you know, that there was people here beforehand, and they did have a system of farming, and they did have a system of government in their own way. And I think it's a good reminder for the audience. I think sometimes some audience members might be uncomfortable. Some audience members might not even hear it.
Yeah.
Some of them might be like, oh, neat, like me. or some will be, you know, they'll feel something. That okay, good, we've started an acknowledgement. I know for a fact, I've sat in some audiences where the territory's been acknowledged with some members who are Indigenous from different nations across Canada, and they would usually cheer or clap because they're being seen.
Mm.
You know, that's another thing that I think what I feel that people get by acknowledging is Indigenous people are becoming visible.
Yeah.
We're not this, you know, romanticized thing of the past.
Right. Oh,
still here. Hi. How's it going?
Yeah.
You know, we're hanging out, getting Starbucks with you. What's up?
Yeah. And it's necessary still. I know that you hear from time to time people saying that we don't need to do that anymore, but we do.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to. We'll probably have to do it when I'm old and gray, if I get to be old and gray. It's, you know, who knows, by then it might even be said in it might be said in Hoklamalum, they might say it in the language,
yeah.
And then English and French, you know, who knows, we might have to say it in multiple languages, but, it's going to evolve, it has to continue having these conversations, you know, like I said, it doesn't end after just, hooray, we did this little thing, nope,
yeah.
It keeps going,
So as a co-director of this production and working with the people that you're working with in the show, do they ask you questions about how or what this material actually means? I mean, is it in this process of preparing for the opening, are you getting a lot of questions like that from the cast?
The cast has done a lot of their own research, which is great. We've had Veronique West, our dramaturge, provide us with a resource book, which has tons of research about the real material behind it. And so the questions from the cast, what we get now are, you know, what are the stakes? It's like we try to figure out, because there's some real stories that are in this. And so the questions from the cast right now is just clarifying where they're going and what they're doing, because they're aware of the stakes now. In the beginning, we had a lot of conversations, and then the community groups would come in and kind of talk about their culture. Like the other day, myself and the other two dancers that I'm dancing with, dancing in the piece, Fonda Bullshields and Jessica McMahon, we talked about how we came to powwow dancing and what powwow dancing means to us, so that the cast knew why we did what we did. Why we do what we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other day, I asked one of the cast members, what is your spiritual belief? How were you raised? Because I am aware of, you know, Muslim practices, but I'm not aware of the Hindu practices or Hindi. I'm not aware of those. I don't have a clear view of what all those different practices are. So I actually, as a director, had to ask him, you know, to see what it is in reference to. So we've actually been asking a lot of cultural questions, just so we are clear and about what we're doing and who we're talking about. So that's kind of the questions where we're, and right now we're moving along, trucking along. So hopefully we don't have too many what are we doing questions going into our last week.
But this is the thing to admire about you, is that here you are the co-director. And you are still learning. And that's the thing about you and your work that someone has to glean some inspiration from, is that it is a process of constant learning, and
it is.
You can't ever think that you know everything, otherwise you're dead, right?
Oh, totally. It's so true. I've learned so much in this process. I don't have as much experience as Marissa directing. She's definitely done way more directing than I have in the past 10 years or so, and I really admired her process. Her and I have different processes, but I also, when I came in here, yes, I came in here as someone of Indigenous background, so I have a decent insight on what that's like being from mixed heritage. But I really did have to check my own perceptions about people with disabilities. I had to check my own perceptions about people from the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I even had to check my own perceptions about people who are African American, what my inner fears were, what biases were built, like what was created, and also my viewpoints on, you know, Islam and everything like that. Like I did have to consistently learn. And one of the things is working with groups like Theater Terrific, who work with, I don't know if you're familiar with Theater Terrific and their work, but Susanna of Theater Terrific and their group, there's amazing actors with disabilities, and they're just amazing. I can't even, they're very real, they're very honest, and they basically help me check my honesty and be real and make sure that and it has actually opened my heart even more working with them.
Yeah.
Because there's no BS with them. They are just legit who they are. You know, and like they ask, and because of that, I feel like, you know, to honor them, I have to be as legit and real as myself as well. Like I can't BS them either, because they're not BSing me. So it's amazing in this process, like consistently learning. And you're right, if you don't learn, then you are dead.
Yeah.
If we don't learn from each other, we will implode. This is bad. We do not want to implode.
No, we don't. No. It not only kills ourselves, it really does kill our creativity.
And it does.
We're so much the worse for that, you know?
You know, and to quote the play, it kills the small blue bird singing in our hearts.
Mm, yeah.
That's a quote from the play. I paraphrased it a little, but it's there.
Well, there's so much to look forward to. As I say in the theater business, break a leg. But I shouldn't say that to a dancer, though, should I?
Oh, you could. you could say, yes, you could say break a leg.
Or marred, right?
Let's go with marriage. Yeah. That's safe.
There we go.
That's safer.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you. All the best. And
thanks
for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
Alleytheater.ca is the website for tickets. The Ridiculous Darkness is at the Annex, 823 Seymour Street, beginning tomorrow night, the 11th, through to the 19th of November. Alleytheater.ca is the website again. Nyla Carpentier, join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.